Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Morning, welcome in. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Monday morning. Thanks so much for being with us. Hopefully everybody had a safe, I know it was snowy, but hopefully safe, snowy, warm, whatever you could make of this weekend. Good morning to you, Randy. How are you?
What's happening, man? Yeah, dog, all good. Hopefully everybody, again, was safe out there with all the slush and everything like that, and back to work, back to school, and everything like that. There's still some remnants. Make sure I tell my son when I drop him off at school, don't be hitting nobody because there's still little packs of snow around there. Don't be busting nobody in the damn head.
This is basically, at this point, you're throwing a rock at
somebody. Yeah, man. Because
I mean, this is an ice ball.
When you go over here at Colony Square, they're sweeping up all the excess snow and there's hills of it. You're just thinking, what a classic snowball fight we could probably have down there right now.
Hey, that Friday snow was perfect snowball snow.
Nice and soft.
I mean, you pack it right into a little ball, and if you have like a little 1.5-year-old boy who thinks he's tough, just peg him with a couple of them and show him who's boss.
There you go.
Yeah. I'm just like, for instance, like if that's what you think.
You got to lay down a damn law around him, man.
Show him who's the man around here.
Yeah, Jack's starting to smell himself.
He's got a mean left-handed throw, though.
Yeah. Oh, you going to make him a lefty?
I'm not going to make him anything, but the man looks left-handed. Make you know, sometimes people are so left-handed, like the left hand hangs lower, you know?
Never paid that attention.
Like James Harden, you ever seen him walk? Like he kind of walks like he's got like a problem?
No.
That's how Jack walks.
Okay.
Yeah, he's so left-handed that like... He's like a condition.
There you go.
He's like, oh, what's wrong with how he walks? He's just left-handed.
Just make him left-handed.
Well, I can't make him anything, but I think you naturally one way or the other.
Tie his right hand behind his back.
There you go. You know, that's not a bad idea.
Yeah, let's just be left-handed.
That's not a bad idea.
Let it be nothing.
Little left-handed relief pitcher.
Yeah.
Yeah, long lifespan doing that.
We're thinking years from now, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what we're thinking about.
Yeah. At least a college scholarship.
Well,
you throw a curveball left-handed.
That's going to get you at least 4 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. Maybe some minor league stuff.
You get
an
English degree off that.
Yeah, man. But, it was a good weekend, man. Good ball. Kind of good ball all weekend. Football. NFL games were...
There were playoff games.
They were like...
They weren't all good games.
Yeah, except for one last night, obviously. But, it was you got the Final Four. And I'm already laughing. I know we're going to talk about the NFL No Huddle. Whoever the punter is up there in Detroit next week for the Commanders and the Lions... Don't show up.
No.
Dress your extra linebacker. Dress your extra lineman. With them two dudes never going for it on fourth down all the time, they might not no punts.
That'd be a fun prop bet. Which punter is going to have more punts in that game? The Commanders punter or the Lions or the over-under combined punts at what?
Yes.
2.5, 3.5, something like that?
Yes.
Yeah, Dan Quinn is allergic to points too, man.
My God.
Goodness gracious.
Goodness. All gas, no damn breaks.
Thank God they ended up winning it. Man. They left how many points?
Like 12. Like 9 points.
Nine points on the board?
Yes.
Just in like, I mean, you just had first and goal and went backwards.
Mm-hmm.
Just like last time you had first and goal and went backwards.
Mm-hmm.
What makes you think the eighth try and goal, you're going to finally figure something out? But then they did. Then they finally did. They got that pass to Terry McLaurin and it was a touchdown. Because me and my mom were sitting there watching it. She's like, why don't they? I was like, I don't know. I guess they know something we don't.
Baby.
And then they make the throw, and McLaurin scores a touchdown, and they end up winning the football game. So all's well that ends well, I suppose. They won a playoff game for the first time in 20 years.
Dude, that's unbelievable. It's been that damn long, man. And obviously it was a lot of fun, and Jaden just continuously shows how great of a young player that he is, man, because he is that team. he galvanizes everybody. They feed off him, and, they were able to get it done. And we were talking on Friday about, slow news day and everything like that. And obviously the Falcons made a move over the weekend, firing the defensive coordinator, which nobody's shocked by.
No.
Like somebody had to pay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It went the way we said it was going to go. Like when it was Monday, right? The day after the loss to Carolina, where they gave up 44 points to the Carolina Panthers in a must-win game.
Right.
You're going to fire the defensive coordinator after that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know what changed between Monday and Saturday. Like, they dig into it, and I know what happened.
You don't have to answer questions.
Yeah, exactly. So I have to answer. Now, we talked about it last week, and we said what they were going to do, and then they did it. So,
right.
I mean, I don't know. If saying it is the wrong thing to do, I mean, okay, but that's what happened. I got a couple questions on Twitter. Is like, why do people care about when they did it? If as long as they did it, it's like, I don't really care, honestly. It's just I know why they did that,
right?
Because they had Raheem's press conference on Monday, mm-hmm. they had Terry Fontenot's press conference on Thursday, mm-hmm. and they didn't want to answer questions about it.
Yeah.
They want to answer like actual questions about why you did it. The speculative questions of are you going to do it are very easy to parry and be like, we're in our process,
yes, exactly.
We've got to evaluate,
exactly.
and blah, blah, blah.
Exactly.
They knew.
Yeah, exactly.
They knew they were firing that man.
Yeah.
They didn't want to talk about it, and okay, fine. I mean, it doesn't – I don't know what the thought process is as far as, like, what's gained by doing that. Like, do you think that the fan base is now less aware of the failings of the defense?
No,
because you didn't answer questions about it directly after the season?
This is
now the third defensive coordinator in 4 years mm-hmm. under Terry Fontenot, by
yes.
the way. So maybe it's not the defensive coordinator's fault.
Maybe it's the guy who's supposed to get the defensive coordinator a good player.
Maybe it's the personnel.
Yeah, and that goes back to you need dudes also. You need dudes. You can talk about scheme and 3-4, 4-3 and all that crap. If you got dudes, it don't matter what damn scheme you do, especially in this damn league. In the National Football League, you need dudes. You need those different-making guys that you can just put in any situation as far as, okay, well he's a 4th. No, well, he's a 3-4 and everything like that. That's why I don't buy any more into this day and age of ball base defenses anymore because there's so much sub-package and thing like that. You're pretty much down 4 linemen, 5 DBs anyways. But, no, they this decision. And then you look at, like, some of the names that are out there. There's some good damn guys out there that are defensive coordinators that are fired head coaches mm-hmm. and got the job because they were good defensive coordinators and leaders of men. So, I mean, if they say, for instance, you go and get Matt Eberflus. Eberflus was a hell of a defensive coordinator at Indianapolis. Like, I got the job in Chicago.
Right.
There's certain guys like that. So I would expect, in my opinion, that they would go somewhere in that route like that. You know how I feel about Steve Wilks. That's my man. He's also a very qualified head coach candidate also. So he would be a knockout hire if that's the case. But, yeah, if you're trying to get one of them dudes, you might want to go ahead and, you know, put some fillers out, and then it's all about, like, because Rod's defensive guy, how much control will he's turning all the way over because mm-hmm. he saw what happens when he turned it all the way over, and mm-hmm. that's one of the biggest things whenever you coach a side of the football when you become the head coach is trusting somebody with your expertise on why you got the job. And so we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, I mean, look, of course the hire that they make is important, and hopefully whoever the guy is that they get does such a great job that he's not here for very long because mm-hmm. that would mean that he gets a chance to be a head coach somewhere else. Coordinators are kind of, you know, the lifespan of failure in the NFL, we're pretty familiar with it, right? Like, mm-hmm. general managers get 3 to 5 years.
Right.
If you don't work, then you're probably going to go. Coaches, about 2 to 4 right now.
Mm-hmm.
Coordinators, whether you're good or you're bad, like, if you're really, really good or really, really bad, you're probably only in that spot for a couple years,
yeah.
right? Because if you do a great job, you're going to get a look as a head coach. If you do a terrible job, or if the team – it's hard to say the coordinator did a terrible job. The team just didn't live up to expectations. Maybe that was entirely on the guy. Maybe it was a group effort. To me, this one feels more like a group effort because they were right where they've been for the last 10 years, basically.
Right.
I mean, they finished right around 23rd, 24th in the NFL. That's where their average finishing position in terms of defensive ranking has been for years now.
Neat players.
So they were the same. Yeah, exactly. They were the same. So, I mean, you get, you know what it is. You get hired as a coordinator. You realize the potential downside of it is you get scapegoated.
Yep.
And to me, that's what this is you, what I understand you have, someone has to pay for it and someone has to go. But the idea that that's going to solve the issues that plague this football team, don't. We can't sell me on that one.
It starts a process of rebuilding something, rebuilding a side of the football, and that's the defensive side. And obviously you got to start with the coordinators. Then you got to look and see what he does, what he wants as far as his personnel, where he's been before, and what made him have success. And then you go from there, and then you go to the drafting and the free agents, and then, hell, obviously trying to or looking to retain the players that are on your team also. And how does this player fit in what this guy's done over over a period of time of him coordinating whatever side of the ball it is. But, yeah, you got to get this hire right, but you got to get the players right, too. And, I mean, that's the most important thing right now for this football team going forward is that side of football. I know we talked about it last week, and you made a great and excellent point. This team, this organization hasn't cared about defense the way it should.
Yeah, they haven't prioritized it the way that they've prioritized the other side of the ball.
And this has to be.
Maybe this is the start of that.
And that's what I'm saying, because you felt it from a standpoint of, well, look who you have at quarterback. We got to do everything we can to make this guy successful for our organization to be successful. And it's not just happened here in Atlanta. It happens all over the league. You know, when you have a strong something, you try to, you know, you try to make the other side of the ball not a weakness or the weak link. Obviously, it's going to be the weaker of the two units, but you just like, can we just hold it together? The bend but don't break aspect of defense, pretty much. Is that what you try to do when you have a quarterback like you had as Matt Ryan, because you want to emphasize him being successful,
right?
Because if he's successful, we're going to be successful. And then we're going to have some bumps and bruises and some close games and all those disappointing losses because the defense blew a coverage or something like that, or it could get the quarterback on the ground. But we'll risk that because we got this quarterback. And so that's where the Falcons have been. Hopefully now they put a bigger priority, especially considering how young your defense, your offensive parts are right now. And so you could find a way to maybe spend some money on that defense side, whatever's allocated left over from what you have to do as far as the quarterback.
Right. Because like it sucks because they finally have like the dream blueprint scenario of a starting quarterback that you – like it's three games, so as much as I want to yell from the mountaintops that Michael Penix is the future and he's going to be the savior and all that kind of stuff, I hope that's true. Who knows? You played three really good games, One of them was a very good game. Hopefully that continues on into the future. What you do know is you're going to have a starting quarterback on a rookie contract next year, which is a great situation normally, financially, unless you have to buy out the backup quarterback.
Exactly.
Or not backup or whatever, or even if he's here, if you have to pay him. You have to pay it. Like, I guess if he's here and you're paying him, at least he's here to be the backup quarterback. Either way, it's an anchor around your neck financially.
Yes.
So you don't really, like Terry Fontenot said it almost as like, everything's fine. This is what we planned for, to be eighth in the league in terms of salary for our quarterback. Nah, if the dude's not here, that sucks.
That sucks. Like, exactly.
Yeah. If you're eighth in the league and the biggest reason why you're top 10 in terms of quarterback salary allocation is not here, then yeah. Yeah, it's not good.
No, it's not.
You don't really get the cash in on the...
It's not. And, you know, it's funny because I was supposed to do something this afternoon with Cleveland Station, right? They asked me to come on and talk about this. And I'm just sitting there thinking, like, because it was basically, we want to talk about Kirk Cousins and everything, because I'm sure that a lot of people in Cleveland are looking at it from, and I'm just like, really?
No, you got to go on there and sell, Randy.
Yeah, like
sell.
Am I supposed to go out here and try to sell these Cleveland people?
Who knows?
After all the crap they just went through with this quarterback situation, who re-injures his Achilles?
Well, he's not going to have anything to like. The off-field stuff's not going to happen.
Yeah,
you got a Boy Scout.
But no, I'm just like, and then I thought to myself, I can't
who knows, man? The Haslams might be listening.
But you think about,
you
got to
go on there and sell this man.
Like, only the Cleveland Browns would trade for Kirk Cousins. They would.
You got to find a franchise worse than you.
Yes.
And they are.
Yes. Yes.
You just lied on Randy. You know, he's actually, I think, I don't know. I saw signs.
You saw signs.
I saw signs of life. You got to lie to these people, Randy. All right. This hour is brought to you by Padley. Sell your home for cash fast. PADLYBuys.com. We'll come back, tell you what's trending here on a Monday morning. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Yeah, we'll evaluate everything. You know, that's one of the coolest things. Y'all know that about Raheem, but he's such a humble person by nature. And so as we go through and have all these discussions, there's no defensiveness, and we're going to look at ways that we need to be more consistent in all areas. So we'll have all those discussions.
And they had him, I guess, right after.
Yeah.
Right after that press conference, they must have had him, because then they fired Jimmy Lake on Saturday.
Right.
So there you have it. Those are the decisions that have been made. Jimmy Lake and Jay Rogers, the defensive line coach, he also got fired by the Falcons. And so they'll have to replace those two guys. Obviously, a defensive coordinator hire is a big deal. Mm-hmm. But,
And this not be.
Somebody had to pay for it, I guess.
I think you look at it from that standpoint, whoever the coordinator guy is, he might want his own DB coach. He might want his own. His own linebacker coach.
So especially also, if you're hiring like a veteran established.
Yeah, and so there's a possibility there could be more changing of positions with this football team when you talk about bringing another guy in to be your defensive coordinator, because a lot of times what you want to do is when you bring another guy in, obviously you want to have some familiarity with him, but you also want to, you know, give him with a carte blanche, watch, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Something like that.
I don't know if he'll get that, but to be some control.
Some control to be like, I've worked with this guy in the past.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? He knows what I want. Bang, bang, bang. And then you go for it from there. But, yeah, it's always a different thing when you bring in a coach, a new coordinator that wasn't fired or something like that. Because a lot of times when a coordinator is promoted or someone takes a head coaching job, you try to usually bring somebody on staff. You know what I mean? Like, hire somebody that's on staff to be the DC to take over. But this is something, you got somebody coming completely in.
That's in a good situation where you like everything that's happened on defense, and you lost the guy because he got a better opportunity and you're happy for him.
Yes.
This is kind of the opposite of that. Where, and Jimmy, the thing about Jimmy Lake is he never been a defensive coordinator before in the NFL.
Right.
I mean, he'd been a coach on staffs, obviously worked with those guys in L.A. The last couple of years. He had been a defensive coordinator in college before, but he had never been a defensive coordinator in the NFL before.
Right.
So, you know, it was kind of a, I don't know, you want to call it a long shot or whatever, but it was a first opportunity like that for him at this level. Ultimately, it didn't work out. I'm sure, you know, there's a lot of different reasons why, and I'm sure he would say he needed to do this, that, or the other thing better. But he just didn't have the dudes. I mean, we came into the year talking about it. Like, who's going to get to the quarterback? Oh, nobody. Nobody is. And then they got better at it as the year went on, and maybe that was partially when Raheem took over a little bit more of the responsibilities after the bye week. I really don't know.
Yeah.
Ultimately, he's the guy that that loses his job over this. The head coach obviously was never going to after 1 year. The clearly the general manager didn't and will be here to try to fix it. And this will be the fourth defensive coordinator in Terry Fontenot's general manager tenure.
Yeah, just watch it out as we get past all this. Who they bring in? Do they bring in some front office help from Terry? Things like that. There's certain times, and this has happened before, and we've seen this happen. And I'm always one of the dudes that's like, you know what I mean? Just keep your eye on who might be the next. President of football operations or some dude, some outside guy.
Just the guy from Chicago, right?
Yeah,
it did that.
Yeah, but maybe that was Terry Fontenot's hire.
Pace.
Yeah, maybe that was his hire.
Oh,
yeah.
They'll bring another guy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So just watch it.
Just at a certain point,
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of cooks in the kitchen.
Yeah.
Maybe you got the wrong cook.
Exactly.
Or the wrong kitchen.
Just watch yourself.
Maybe you need a new range.
Just watch.
We were looking at new ranges online the other day.
Range.
That'll run you a pretty penny.
What?
You're like a stove,
A stove. Y'all wanted a stove?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Yeah. What's wrong with y'all stove?
Old.
Oh, okay.
And crooked.
Oh, okay. But I'm going to put a box of matches under there.
No, I've tried. It's like, I've got it propped the best I can. But like
clump of coasters,
yeah. But like, I got them under there. But it's the damn eye that's crooked.
Oh.
And I've got it. I've done everything I can to get it as level as I can, but I still cook eggs on one side of the pan.
Stove shopping is fun.
Is it?
No. No. Appliance shopping sucks.
Dipped my toe into the online stove shopping experience yesterday.
Buying appliances suck.
Fun wasn't the word I would have described.
Yeah, they suck. It does.
Expensive. Now, one good thing is people will sell nice stuff on Facebook just because they'll renovate their kitchen or whatever, or they're moving or something. I don't know what it is.
What color stove are y'all looking for?
I don't care what color it is.
Oh, okay.
I just want it to be level.
Okay. I was just saying, we got a stove.
You selling it?
Nah.
Oh, well, then
I don't use it, though. That's what I'm saying. I don't use that stove. It's the one in the basement. I've never used it.
Okay.
And so.
What color is it?
It's white.
Well, our current one's white.
Okay.
Well, that'd be fine.
I'll give you a good deal. you just got to come get it. There's going to be a challenge getting it out.
Oh, yeah. It's in your basement.
Yeah. Yeah. It's going to be a challenge getting it out of the house.
Yeesh.
That's going to be the biggest thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll talk.
Okay.
We'll talk. All that to say. Falcons fired Jimmy Lake.
Bye, Jimmy.
See you later, Jimmy.
Bye, Jimmy.
We hardly knew you.
It's gonna be, I mean,
you would have beat Montana all
We talked earlier in the show about, you could throw out some of the names of possible defensive coordinators out there. You've seen some that have already interviewed for some jobs. I saw that Dennis Allen's interviewing, former Saints coach interviewing in Indianapolis.
Mm-hmm.
I know Robert Saleh, I know he's holding out for a head coaching job, but I think the 49ers gig is his if he doesn't get one.
Yeah.
And then, there's Matt Eberflus who's out there. what's the other guy I was looking for?
Lou Anarumo.
Lou Anarumo. Aruma
from Cincinnati.
From Cincinnati.
What's his relationship like with Hendrickson? Because I like that guy.
Yeah, exactly.
If that's not like the right reason to do stuff like
why
that.
Why not?
I don't know. The dudes are the reason why all these guys have gotten fired.
Yeah.
Or I guess not all of them have gotten fired, because didn't the older guy, what was his name? Friendly guy. Used to be on the morning show with John and Hugh sometimes. Dean Pease.
Yeah.
He just retired again, right?
No, Dean Pease.
Did he get fired?
No, Dean Pease, he's the D.C. in Philly.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh.
Yeah, he's the D.C. in Philly.
Well, then Nielsen was just kind of a casualty of the whole regime getting fired.
Yeah, but then he goes down to Jacksonville,
it
and then it didn't go with at all. he has some dudes down there,
too,
man.
They do have some pretty good players on that defense.
He was, like, doing a whole damn, like, line change.
Yeah.
Like, it's like six on, six off for your defense. Like, that's not good.
My mom was sad to see Jimmy Lake get fired because, you know, they went to the same college. She's always sad when an Eastern Washington Eagle is unemployed.
Well, I mean,
I told her he'd probably land on his feet.
He'll be coaching somewhere next year.
Yeah,
he'll be coaching somewhere next year.
But all right.
The move is made.
What were we going to do? That's right. Let's hear the double doink. Or not the double doink, the single doink, the divisional doink.
From 37 to send Washington to the final eight. The Washington Commanders on the upright, and it is in! They doinked their way to the divisional round!
Collinsworth was about to call it the divisional doink as well. Yeah. Like, his amusement of that situation was really funny.
He was loving it.
It was really great.
He was loving it.
And shout out to the Commanders, man. Obviously, that's their first playoff win. Last time they won a playoff game was 20 years ago. They were called the Redskins.
Yeah.
That was a long time ago. So good for them. They're on to the next round.
05. I'm trying to think of the quarterback there. Because they went RG because they lost.
That was pre-RG.
Yeah, they lost to the Seahawks. That's right.
Yeah.
That's when he got hurt.
The Seahawks in 12.
So 05. That's what I was playing.
So it was the playoffs of 06, season of 05. God, I don't know. Rex Grossman.
Was that
there?
Was Jason?
Jason Campbell,
was Jason,
maybe.
Was Jason the Colts?
That's a good guess.
Yeah, because I know him and Ronnie, and they were drafted in 04. Or no, they were drafted in 05.
Okay.
So that might That might be it. That might have been J-Cam, the last one to take him there. But, yeah, I mean, just get this kid in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
They had him contained, Andy. They had him contained.
Jaden Daniels is unbelievable.
They had him contained on third down. He broke it.
He's never been a rookie.
Yeah.
He's definitely not a rookie now, but he's never been a rookie.
Yeah,
that guy plays with so much poise, it's crazy.
Man. They had him. They had him. They had him contained, and he broke contained.
And he just got enough,
I mean, just enough
on the shoulder.
Just enough.
Because Kalijah Kansas, that's a Georgia Tech kid, right?
No, that's – is that Kansas? I thought that was the
Pitt
guy.
Pitt, that's right. Kalijah Kansas is a Pitt kid. He had a nice game, and he had him, man. He had his towel.
He had him on the ground. He threw the towel.
He was furious.
Yeah, he threw the towel.
Understandably.
But yeah, he broke contain, man. And you want to talk about just this kid, you know, you get him in the fourth quarter, six wins?
Yeah.
Six?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and he just, like you said, he's poised. And then Cliff Kingsbury does this thing where it's like, I'm just going to give this kid the ball.
Just put it in his hands.
I'm just going to put it in his hands. Yep. And then give him a one-read run option. And if we lose that way, we're just going to lose that way. And obviously, they won it yesterday. Baker, I thought Baker was fine. I thought they got too cute on the revert, on the speed, whatever.
Why did you stop throwing it to Mike Evans?
Because Mike was cooking.
Mike was cooking Marshawn
ass yesterday. And I don't know, Marshawn, he still might be hurt or whatever like that, but he's getting his ass cooked.
Either way, that was a matchup that they needed to exploit more. The fact that, he had seven catches. I think he had six of them in the first half.
Yes.
Maybe they switched up coverages a little bit in the second half, but I thought I still saw Lattimore shadowing him all over the field.
But
need to throw it to him more.
But, I mean, you look at just the whole thing with Washington and Dan, that all gas, no break mentality. It's like, I mean, all right. I mean, he is who he is.
You know what?
And he has the one player that covers his ass.
Yep.
He has a quarterback.
That's right.
He can cover his ass. And obviously, they're all right. And remember, we talked about this last week, and I was like, Washington is not their quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Or they got more. No, they got some stuff. But they got him.
Yeah.
They got a guy back there. And then you look at it. I mean, I know Baker ran his ass over yesterday. Wags. But, I mean, then you put him in a million defense. He's still playing at such a high level.
Yeah.
He's still playing. But Baker got him.
He did. He got it.
But yeah, he was off balance.
He was off balance. That's like one of those ones where the guy steps on your foot on a crossover.
Yeah. He was off balance. And Baker gave him that.
But he did.
Baker gave him that.
He got him. They were calling him Baker Allstop on Twitter.
Oh, God, no. Oh, no.
They had the ball for 35 minutes, too.
Mm-hmm.
That's part of why Evans and some of the other guys didn't get the, you know, the volume that you would think. They just didn't have the ball in the second half. They couldn't get off the field. Like, Jaden Daniels just keeps drives alive, man. That's a good football player. Really, really good football player. All right. We'll get to all the other playoff games, none of which were nearly as good as the one last night, coming up at the top of the noon hour. We'll talk about that college football game from Friday night, though, between Ohio State and Texas. And we now know who's playing for the national championship as well, Ohio State and Notre Dame. We'll get into all that coming up next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, midday show with Andy and Randy, 20 minutes away from an NFL no-huddle. We'll do back-to-back NFL no-huddles noon and 12:20 to get into everything that happened over the weekend. One more game tonight, by the way. You got one more wild card round game tonight between the Vikings and the Rams, which will be played in Arizona.
Yes.
Just crazy. And obviously continuing to send thoughts, prayers, and everything positive that we can to the folks of Los Angeles, because that continues to be just an absolute nightmare out there. And sounds like the winds are going to get bad again today.
Yeah, man. It's just unfortunate. You see a lot of people out there doing everything they can to help. But, yeah, it's a horrible, horrible situation, man. And but yeah, I mean, I think it's gonna be a good game.
I think so too.
You got a 14 win 5 seed,
right?
You know, which is crazy. And what they're gonna do is, you look at the Rams when they're whole, and I'm talking about those two receivers, man. They are just a different damn animal. They're both healthy as they're gonna be, healthy as they've been all season. So yeah, I think can Flo pressure staff enough? Make them make mistakes, because they don't pressure him. Pooking him on Teddy ass.
Oh yeah. Like, you got that when you got Stafford, those two receivers and Kyren Williams, their winning percentage is like 70%.
Yes.
Like, they're just never healthy. They're just never healthy at the same time, but they're healthy right now. And you also gotta remember, and we'll talk more about this in the no huddle. I mean, Darnold's coming off a horrible performance.
Yes.
And I don't know, is that like a blueprint thing that the Lions threw out there? Some of it was to him just
missing.
Bad. He just, yeah, there
he
was
missed.
Guys open. He just didn't see him or throw it to him or whatever.
He just missed him.
But, yeah, like, that's a tough, you know, for folks that were kind of the whole season hesitant to buy it, right? Because there's so much evidence to say that that's not who he is. And then he's got this year where it's really good, and it was really good for a lot of the season, most of the season. That's that final, like, that little doubt going into playoffs. It's like, I don't know, maybe he isn't. Maybe he isn't that guy. I'm not sure. And if he plays bad tonight, then everyone will say, no, he's not.
No, he's
not.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. If he plays bad tonight,
everyone's like, don't pay him.
Because
remember, 2 weeks ago, it was like, you got to give him $50 million.
Right.
And then he played bad against the Lions. If he plays bad against the Rams tonight, people are going to be like, that bum.
Bum.
Don't give him any money.
Bum. Vic Fangio is the coordinator for the Eagles.
Right.
And then you said Mark Brunell was the quarterback.
Yeah.
When they Washington Redskins. They didn't want a playoff game.
Right, when they won a playoff
game. Okay.
Back in 05 season, 06 playoffs.
Right, damn. Oh, Mark Brunell.
Brunell had a hell of a...
He had a nice career,
He had a very nice career in Jacksonville, and then he kind of bounced around a little bit and had some good years. He was a backup here and there, but yeah, really nice career.
Yeah, nice career and everything. But yeah, I think the biggest thing when you look at the D.C. and Vic, it took him a minute to get all those players, because I just retweeted a clip of Dan Orlovsky had put it out there on this one play of the Eagles game last night, and you watch it, they're running like a counter. And Nolan Smith's job is to take on the guy. He takes on the tackle, damn near breaks him in half. Then Jordan Davis presses off the guard, who bumps into the pulling tight end, and then N'Kobe Dean fills the hole and makes the tackle.
Yep.
Which is just unbelievable. And shout out to my man, N'Kobe, man. Got hurt. He made a hell of a play. I didn't realize that he was that hurt, but I saw them. They had to walk him off the field and everything. He has they said ruptured patella, so he's going to be out for a while, man. But that sucks.
Man, he'd been playing,
good, man.
Nolan Smith was unbelievable last night.
Yeah.
I mean, Jalen Carter's been everything that you thought that he would be. And Jordan Davis has played better as well.
Yes.
And then the inevitable thing sort of happens, right? Because we're here and they're there and everything. And it's like, and the Falcons have none of them.
Yeah.
Which I don't blame people for at all. Because, I mean, sometimes there's a little bit of homerism in that, but, like, literally 30 guys were drafted over the course of 2 years out of Georgia, and none of them are here.
Yes.
Every team would have one.
That's what I'm saying. But this is what I'm saying, and we talked about this.
And it's not like if the Falcons' defense was great, you could be like, oh, well, they got their own blueprint.
Did you not see Lassiter?
Yes.
I mean, he was freaking outstanding.
They're all
Bullard, like.
Yeah.
That's why the defense.
Well, that's the crazy thing about that game. I know everybody talks about how Philly has all the Georgia guys.
Yes.
Green Bay's got a bunch of Georgia guys,
Wade
too.
Wade was good yesterday. That was like.
And there was a couple guys hurt that couldn't even play in the game,
man,
too.
It was crazy, man. It's crazy how many dogs that you had out there. But, yeah, I saw a whole lot of that right there. Like, oh, look at that right there.
And I don't blame you.
Look who was at that spot when we took this guy.
Yeah. I know. Troy Andersen and D'Angelo Malone just watching the playoffs.
They're not doing nothing wrong.
Just watching the playoffs.
Catching strays. Yeah, man.
Catching strays. That's what we, no strays Monday, right? That's what it is. We're just giving straight. That's what we decided last Monday.
Yes.
Or like us, it was Move Your Ass Monday.
Move Your Ass Monday.
I like naming the days of the week. That's a very Dan Quinn thing.
Yeah.
Because remember, it's like Tell the Truth Monday.
Perfect Friday. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I don't know. What was Wednesday?
That's always the crazy thing. Whenever
you wear a cardigan Wednesday.
Whenever you come from like a different organization or whatever, but yet you bring that whole message.
Because that's a Pete Carroll.
Because that's a Pete Carroll thing. Yeah. He brought the whole Pete Carroll here.
Yeah.
You know, everything and Tell the Truth Monday, all those different things. So it's like,
wear your hat backwards Tuesday.
Yeah. Was that a thing?
No, but Dan Quinn does wear his hat backwards.
He does, and he still wears it. I remember all that criticism he got that one time for it, too. I was like, come on, man. Come on. There's more. I mean, criticism for wearing your hat backwards as a coach.
Do whatever you want.
Certainly it has nothing to do. This is the new one. I don't know if it's new. I just started hearing it. NBA coaches need to go back to wearing suits on the sideline.
I kind of like it.
Really?
Yeah. I loved NBA coaches wearing suits.
Oh, really?
It was great.
Oh, I never thought.
I loved it.
One way or the other. There were certain
now
coaches.
Now they're over there looking like schlubs.
There were certain coaches I wanted to see. Like, I wanted to see Pat Riley. I wanted to see Pat Riley decked out.
Yeah.
I wanted to see the damn Greg Popovich in his damn Dockers.
Or like George Carl in a mock turtleneck barely tucked in with like a sub stain on the front of it.
but I
like the guys. Obviously, it was the Pat Rileys who had the game.
Right.
Like they had the ability. But then the other guys had to fake it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It was terrible.
Awful.
But now it's all awful. Everybody's over there in like a dry fit shirt and some jogging pants. It's just the whole league. That's the league in a nutshell right now. Everything's too relaxed.
Yeah.
Everybody's too buddy-buddy.
Put a belt on. They need to go back like how...
tighten it up.
Like when David Stern's like, okay, Allen Iverson, you ruined it for everybody.
No. I don't care about what the guys wear. Okay. The guys can wear whatever they want.
No, man. Hell no. boy. Like, maybe you need to go back to wearing suits. Because some of the stuff these cats be wearing,
I think
these guys are expensive. It don't look good.
I think technically some of those are suits. They just got pieces missing, you know?
Ass.
Yeah, like ass missing. Or they got like the midsection out, but you got like a, you know, you got a cummerbund on or something.
Dude wore a damn hat.
I saw a guy with a cummerbund and no undershirt.
That's what I saw. Yeah. And he had a half jacket. So you got nipples and a cummerbund.
You can't have nipples in a cummerbund,
come on,
man.
Dog.
One or the other.
Come on, dog.
One or the other, all right? All right, let's talk some Cotton Bowl. Obviously, Friday we got a chance to talk about the Penn State and Notre Dame game. Again, shout out to Notre Dame. Came up big when it mattered most. I still give credit to James Franklin and Kirby Smart and all these coaches that go for it and try to be aggressive late in halves. It clearly worked out for Ohio State
because
they could have just packed it in and got to halftime 7-7.
Yep.
That was the biggest play of the game, but that was so backbreaking.
A screen pass.
Texas's defense played incredible for 29 and a half minutes.
They did.
They let down mentally for 1 second, and Travion Henderson took it to the house.
Gone. I mean, just a hell of a call, first of all, by Chip Kelly right there in that situation. And Travion got gone. And that was the side effect. And Texas, and that's something we talked about, like Texas athlete for athlete. Texas defense is legit.
They're awesome.
And
they had a great plan against Jeremiah Smith.
Their secondary is the strength of their team. And we saw the different looks, the different bodies. Like, very rarely did Jeremiah Smith get a one-on-one situation. And so they were able to do that. And then, you know, this – you know, and we also talked about, can Texas make this a fourth quarter game? Which they did. And had an opportunity there at the end.
Yep.
But, I mean, just a great play. Scoop and score by your damn leader. You know, by one of your dudes that after the Michigan loss was like, hell no.
He was the most mad
yep. about that. And he walked the walk that game against Tennessee when he was looking at Tennessee like, okay, y'all don't know what y'all just walked into, buddy. And he was just able to go out there and get it done, man. So, yeah, good. I mean, you got a heavyweight matchup in the national championship, man. Ohio State versus Notre Dame.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're talking about the two of the biggest brands.
Yeah, brand for brand.
Brand for brand.
It's a dream come true man, for college football.
It's an unbelievable situation. Yeah. And obviously, we'll talk more about it as the week goes. My early things is that how much more can this Notre Dame team give you?
What else do they have?
They are banged up.
Yep.
They are undermanned.
Yep.
They got to make some big plays in this game. They got to make some big plays.
No mistakes.
Yep.
They got to hit a couple. I don't know if it's trick plays or whatever.
Yes.
They got to come up with some big plays that may not be there normally. They got to do the special teams trickery that Freeman has become kind of famous for. And all of it. And it still might not matter.
Yeah.
Because Texas played a really good game.
I think Texas is better than Notre Dame.
I think so, too. Yes. And still, it didn't matter in the end because Ohio State's just more talented than they are, and they made the plays when it mattered most. And ultimately, and maybe it's an oversimplification, but ultimately it came down to Quinn Ewers made some plays in the second half of that game. He's just not special.
Yes.
Like, he's a good quarterback.
Has he regressed, in your opinion, or is he just plateaued?
I think he's plateaued. Yeah. I think he's plateaued, and I think there's been bigger games. Yeah. I think he was able to kind of get away with it in the Big 12 last year on his way to a college ball playoff with Texas.
Right.
I think being in the SEC and playing better defenses throughout the entire year and being maybe in a slightly bigger spotlight, I don't know if that – second year, he's kind of a bigger name because of that and all that. Plus, then the Arch stuff kind of started getting louder, too.
And it did get louder.
That didn't really happen last year.
And what did he say afterwards? He does not see himself playing at Texas. He didn't say not come back to college.
Yeah.
So, could he pull a Carson Beck? I don't know. But I think that, you know, when you look at Ohio State, I mean, they are – when they're on it, and I don't think they played their best game the other day. I don't think they played their best game. But I do think that, you know, when you look at where Notre Dame is defensively – they can give you some issues. Their thing is that they're at their last man. They are like, you know, and so can Riley Leonard, can he make some plays with his arm? We know he's going to try to make some move with his legs. Mm-hmm. But that front seven for Ohio State, they some damn grown-ass men. And they're grown men that's been in the system that are upper class, just like Georgia had on their defense. Guys have been there 2 and 3 years. That's what $20 million was to keep them dudes there.
Yeah.
And to allow them to be able to pressure the quarterback where they do, stop the run. I mean, they just got a bunch of problems over there.
And a lot of these guys are playing the best they've ever played.
Yes, they're all,
like JT Tuimoloau or JTT. Because
he like fell off for a minute after that Penn State game. Like, where the hell this dude go?
Yeah, now he was like really up and down throughout. He would pop up and have these games where it's like, dude, that's a top 10 pick right there. And then you wouldn't see him for a month. He's been incredible in these three games. I mean, Jack Sawyer, we talked about him, obviously, with the scoop and score and being from Columbus and all that kind of stuff. He was ready to fight every single Michigan player when they're planting the flag, which, okay, could have fought him for 60 minutes and not let him. No, he did. He made an incredible play in that game, by the way, at the goal line against Michigan as well. So he's been making plays all year. But he makes the biggest play of the game, scoop and score. He's a legend.
Yes.
They say he'll never pay for another drink in Ohio and all that. That's for sure. Like, I mean, that's one of the great plays in the history of a great program.
But I think, you know, when we look at the program and when you get to this area, you start getting attention. I saw Marcus Freeman. The Bears are interested in interviewing him. Not surprised by that. Saw Penn State. They just lost their they're losing their defensive coordinator.
Kind of interesting, huh?
In Clemson. Yeah. Like, Dabo going for it. Dabo went and got some studs out of the portal. He got a bunch of young studs coming back.
Yeah.
Yeah, Dabo's going for it.
Went and got Penn State's defensive coordinator, who was still Penn State's defensive coordinator.
Yes, Dabo's
this wasn't a man who got fired.
No, Dabo's like, hey,
come on down.
Come on down, dog.
How do you like South Carolina?
Yeah.
A little warmer this time of year.
Dabo's like, Dabo ain't sitting back. Dabo's anyway. Y'all better kick us while we're down. Because, like, the players that he went and got the portal, accompanied by what he's got coming back with his quarterback.
What did you make of the goal line play calling in the fourth quarter by Texas?
Okay.
Because to me, that kind of gets back to another thing. My two things that I just couldn't buy into about Texas were I didn't think the quarterback was special enough to win you big games when they mattered most.
Right.
And I just don't trust Sark.
Right. I don't understand why they thought they were going to go east to west against Texas. I honestly don't know what that was going to do. And when you talk about we had a caller on Friday was talking about different players and everything, and we were talking about Caleb Downs.
Mm-hmm.
And this dude, ever since they moved him closer to the line, like he can play anywhere on the football field, but once they started moving him closer to the line, you really saw this defense just go defense.
Yep.
And
he made that play.
And he made that play. And so that's why I was like, why are you going east to west on this defense? Didn't understand it. But I'm right there with you with the whole Sark thing.
I think I know why they went east to west. Because they tried to go north to south and couldn't go anywhere.
I prefer to go north.
Me too. Me too. I think you probably should have stuck with it. Or here's my thing: is like in college football right now, almost every team has a quarterback that's a threat.
Yes,
like
he's not a run
you've
threat.
Got to keep him honest.
You saw a lot of
just no one's scared of Quinn Ewers at all.
You saw a lot of people right there was like, why isn't Arch there in that situation?
Did you see what happened when Arch played in the first half?
Yes, they did.
He either had a concussion or got hit so damn hard he might have had a concussion.
That's right, because he did hit a little – no, he had a concussion.
Yeah.
Dude. He got rocked.
Yeah.
He got rocked.
That's why Arch wasn't in, because he was in earlier and he got smoked.
Yeah, he got rocked and everything like that. But, yeah, you know, that was always the thing with the Sarkisian. You talk about him all the time. And then Texas, as talented as they are, they ain't got no dude at receiver. They got some good receivers, but they don't have a dude.
Well, and the guy who's closest to a dude was out for half the game. And he finally came back, but he wasn't himself.
They just don't have. Strange as that is, in Texas, they don't have a dude. You know what I mean? And I thought that was that probably had some effect on the play calling down there and everything. But I mean, like Ohio State's supposed to be here. Notre Dame's not. Let's call it what it is.
Yeah.
Notre Dame's not supposed to be here.
No, fair enough.
But they are here, and they fought their ass off. They beat the hell out of Georgia. They beat Penn State. They beat physical-ass football. Oh, and you put Indiana in there. I mean, they beat three physical-ass football teams. They're the more physical football team in all three of those games. And now they're here, and it's got to – and all I need, if when you talk about Marcus Freeman and his motivation to his team and his leadership is – God, we need 3 hours.
One more time.
And then y'all go because
60 minutes, no mistakes.
60 minutes. That's it.
Yep. I bet his pregame speech is going to be phenomenal.
Yes.
I'd like to hear that. Maybe we will. Sometimes they leak that stuff.
Are we here?
Huh?
I mean, the game down the street.
Oh yeah, that's true. Maybe sneak in there.
Yeah. Let's see if we can get somebody.
Some locker room passes.
Who? Joe Patrick.
Oh yeah, Joe's in tight with Ohio State.
Yeah. Go bug the locker room.
Who's our Notre Dame guy? We got a Notre Dame guy. You got to have a Notre Dame former teammate or friend or something.
Yeah. Can we call him?
Sure.
Okay.
Hit him up.
I haven't talked to him about 15 years, but we'll see.
That's fine. People love the first thing you do if you talk to him in 15 years to ask him for something.
Yeah.
That's their favorite thing.
Hey, dog, could you maybe bug the locker room?
I don't know what Marcus Freeman is going to say to his team. All right. This hour has been brought to you by Padley. Sell your home for cash fast. PADLYBuys.com. Come back. We'll get into back-to-back NFL no huddles. 45 minutes of NFL football coming up next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.